CITR Radio would like to remind you that this program is a three-dimensional color presentation. For quality sound and vivid imagery, please use your CITR 3D earplugs.
Hello, listeners. This is CITR Doc Season 2. We are broadcasting from the ancestral and unceded territory, the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. If this is the first time you are hearing the CITR Doc series, firstly, Doc is short for documentary, and secondly, this is the second year that we are sourcing local producers that reflect historical and contemporary issues in the Lower Mainland community. You might be listening to this right now on Stitcher, iTunes, or even CITR.ca. Just so you know, there's going to be new documentaries uploading Mondays and Wednesdays until the 16th of June. For more information, you can go to CITR.ca/docs. Coming up now, we have a mini-doc from Rachel Lau, host of RIP Radio and member of CITR Student Executive. Speaking of that program, RIP Radio, it's a show about exploring artists who have left this world and the way those artists have touched the lives of people living in Vancouver. This brings us to our upcoming documentary. It's called What's in a Name, and it's a real moment of serendipity. While working on a piece on Amy Winehouse, Rachel Lau met Vancouver-based artist Joshua Badu, interviewed him for that piece, and when it came time to do this documentary, he was the right person to turn to. This is something that Rachel has been talking to me for a while about, the idea of tackling a name-based series that explores what a name means, what a name can tell us about someone's culture, history, family, going beyond everyday utility and examining what a name really represents. Stay tuned for What's in a Name.
I was with my older brother, and me and him, like, every single time after school, he'd come home with, like, some fresh beats or whatever, and he'd come play it on the stereo, so he'd be rapping over time, and then he'd be showing all his boys. His boys would come to the house, and then they'd start rapping and all this stuff, and I was like, do you know what? Like, I can sing, but I just didn't tell anybody. So what I decided to do was one day when they were just, when they were, like, rapping over a beat, I just went in, and I just started singing over the chorus. Well, after
that
we
move, we gonna do. That's Joshua Badu from Surrey, British Columbia. From a young age, Josh always knew he could sing, but for some reason or another, he didn't tell anyone else about it. In school, in church, Josh was always singing. Eventually, people around him realized he was pretty good at it. Fast forward 20 years, Josh is now pursuing a career in music as an R&B artist.
My name is Joshua Badu, but I go by the name Joshua Badu for my singing.
You're probably wondering, why the name Badu? Why doesn't Josh go by his legal name, Badu, for his singing? To answer this question, we need to start with a story about Josh's grandpa.
My last name, it was Badu. My grandpa, back in Ghana, he was swimming. And Ghana has this, like, really big, I guess, they're really big on fishing and everything like that. So everyone usually goes by the water, they're swimming, they're doing their thing. And this guy, I guess he, like, drifted too far when he was swimming. And he ended up, like, you know, he was drowning. And someone saw him and ended up saving his life. And that person's last name was Badu, so my grandpa switched his last name to Badu, B-A-D-U.
From this story, it would make sense that Josh takes the name Badu after his grandpa, not Badu. But a name holds histories, and sometimes you don't write those histories yourself. For the next part of the story, Josh explains how his father decided to change their family name from Badu back to Badu. But first, allow me to introduce myself. I'm Rachel Lau. As someone who is part of a diaspora, just like Josh, for me, names are important. My family name, Lau, is one of the few things I can use to trace back my history. Every time I introduce myself, I'm reminded of my roots. Saying my name asserts to others and myself that my ancestors are from China, and this is who I am. But when we meet someone and they introduce themselves, we usually try to remember their name, and that's the end of it. At least for me. It's pretty rare for us to ask what their name means or how they got it. But Josh's story gives us a glimpse of just how much meaning a name can hold. Now, back to Josh's story about his father and the name Badu.
later on, my dad, he ended up finding out what that name meant. And in our country, it meant 10th born. But it also had some ties in with like slavery and all that. So my dad didn't really want to associate with that. So he switched our last name back to Baidu.
So far, we've heard two stories now from two generations. Josh's grandpa and then his father. But what's Josh's take on this? Which brings us back to the question of why the name Joshua Badu?
That name is really important for me for various reasons. Like one of them being just the fact that in the music industry, I am an R&B artist. So in the music industry, the name Badu is really like respected. If you want to talk about just like artists of that caliber, Erykah Badu, she's like just up there in terms of just like a legendary artist. Like it's hard to find anyone that's going to replace her. The quality of her voice, just the way she carries herself. And she's really respected by a lot of people in the industry. And that's exactly how I want to, you know, be perceived as coming to the game, be respected, and actually be shown that I take, you know, my music seriously.
By now, you probably get a sense that music is a big part of Josh's life. From singing at home with his brother to his music career now, Josh has always cared about music. His passion for music, though, is not coincidental. It runs in the family. Josh paints us a picture of how music for him is closely tied to family and how the name Badu is more than just an artist name.
Just the significance that someone came and saved my grandpa. You know what I mean? It was just like, if that guy wasn't there, I wouldn't be here. You know, my dad wouldn't be here. Like, my whole lineage would have been, like, gone. You know what I mean? So it's significant to me in that sense. So I don't really think about, like, the slavery aspect of it. I just think about what it means to my grandpa in that time and also just how it affects my music. Yeah, in terms of my grandpa, he was also a musician as well. So my dad would tell me stories about like him and his friends. Like they'd always like go out in the city and they'd be singing and stuff. And they'd really, really like his voice, but he just never had the opportunity to take it anywhere. You know, it was just always like a local type thing. And so for me being an artist, me being in Canada, you know, North America, having the opportunity to sing and just, especially with the internet nowadays, like being able to use that to my advantage and just take off, like that's exactly what I want to do. And I want to use it with his name because I feel like he also deserves, you know, that recognition. Like if he could sing, like he could sing well. And my dad, he's also a singer too. He could sing well as well. So it's just kind of like passed down, you know what I mean? So I just want to carry that and but I want to be the first one to just be like, okay, like I'm here, I'm established in this music game, and I'm doing this because of you guys, and I just want to keep your name up there.
Josh shares with us the intimate connection between his grandpa, the name Badu, and his music. But what's interesting is that Josh has never met his grandpa. So how can he feel such a strong connection with someone he's never met?
I never got to see him. Like he actually passed away, like I think three, four years ago, but I never got to see him. He was always in Ghana. And the one time I did go to Ghana, like he was on like the other side of Ghana, which takes like hours to travel to. So I never really got to see him. And it really sucked because a lot of people tell me that me and him look alike a lot. Like a lot. Like if I was to go back to his village right now and just walk in there, they'd be like, damn, you look like like you look like him. So that's basically it. It's kind of sad that I never got to meet him because I'm pretty sure he had a whole lot of stories to tell me and like all these experiences from like way back when that I'll just never, you know, get to know about. So yeah, it's that kind of hurts. But that's also kind of why I wanted to take that name, because it's just like that's the one thing from him that I can keep and be like, okay, like this is my memory of you. And like this is how I'm gonna forever remember you.
You can tell by the way that Josh talks about his grandpa that it's the missed opportunity for connection between them that motivates him. There is a sense of longing in the way that Josh tells his story, a longing for a connection with his ancestor, something that is so familiar to people who are part of a diaspora, like Josh and I. I never met my paternal grandfather either. He passed away before I was born. And to this day, I long to return to my ancestral village in China to find that connection between me and someone I've never met, my grandfather. It kind of sounds like I'm not making any sense, but Josh shares the same feeling of inexplicable longing with me.
It's just hard to explain because it's kind of like there's a connection there. But just the fact that I've never met him, it kind of feels like it's an empty void, you know, in a sense. But just me grabbing onto that last name and holding onto it and just using it in something that I'm really passionate about. For me, like, I have a lot of respect for him. So that's why I just want to do that.
From the way that Josh talks about holding on to his grandpa's name, it shows us how he makes sense of his histories in the African diaspora. He is a living, breathing example that being physically disconnected with your ancestors does not mean those connections with them don't exist. They simply exist in a different way. Josh's story helps me feel, even though I've never met my grandfather, it doesn't make me any lesser than. The way we choose to write our histories and connect with our ancestry is valid and important. There's no right or wrong way to do it. Through his story, Josh teaches me that names are more than something you just memorize. It's a part of who you are. To end the story, Josh explains to us how being himself was the most important part in choosing the name Badu for his music career.
Before, like, I had all these, like, artist names that I wanted to name myself. Like, I went through so many names. And then I was just like, you know what? Like, why don't I just be myself? You know, why don't I just actually go down to my roots, figure out, like, you know, what's going on and be a little bit more open, because me being open with myself allows me to be more open with other people.
Again, you've been listening to CITR Doc Season 2, and we just heard What's in a Name by Rachel Lau. It is the fourth episode of CITR Doc Season 2, so if you missed anything, be sure to subscribe to us on Stitcher, iTunes, just look up CITR Docs, or keep checking out the CITR.ca/docs page for updates. Again, new documentaries come out Mondays and Tuesdays. Thank you once more to Rachel Lau and Joshua Badu for that story. And thank you to CRFC Radio Meters for providing partial funding for this project. Be sure to tune in to CITR 101.9 FM this Friday if you want to revisit this documentary or the documentary we just aired on Monday, Lamo and the Princess. That one's about an undefinable relationship between two women that started in Tibet 60 years ago. We're also going to have interviews with Rachel Lau, the producer of this documentary, and Alex DeBoer and Kunsang Kyurong, the producers of the last documentary. So make sure you check back on Monday for Kyle Murray's documentary. It's called Everything's Out Light. Here's a clip.
People showed up at Pigeon Park, where there was a new totem pole erected for the survivors of the missing Indigenous and murdered women. And he felt comfortable to spout hateful about, you know, the Indigenous community.
He's wearing a balaclava and he asks that I don't use his name. And I think the anonymity is because he fears for his safety. He is, after all, here to oppose the presence of Soldiers of Odin, a far-right anti-immigrant street gang. But Soldiers of Odin are only here as muscle, sort of unofficial security for the Christmas party of the Free Speech Club. The Free Speech Club is a group of mostly conservative or libertarian college students who Antifa have identified as alt-right, but the Free Speech Club reject that label and say they're just fighting back against an oppressive campus culture of political correctness.
If you ever talk about Trump in a positive light, or any conservative view in a positive light on campus, people are gonna ostracize you. People will think you're some kind of a racist, misogynist, whatever label they have for you, and they want to keep you from talking, right? So that's what, it's kind of like a protest against that. It's a protest against the political correctness culture.
Neo-Nazis have this new manifestation in the alt-right, where they're just all clean-shaven college kids who just want to have a conversation. It doesn't make it any better.
Come drink and talk with us. Why are you standing out here?
Have a conversation.
Have a conversation.
Have a dialogue.
We're not actually white supremacists, you know.
Free speech is simply a moniker for them to say, I want to say things and get away with it and normalize it.